the people of Israel clear instructions about dealing with thieves and criminals and murderers. You got to remember, these were people, when the law was given to Moses, who were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. They didn't have a nation and cities. They were, most people say, at least 2 million of them. They were living in tents. They were driving sheep and cows and goats and things of this nature. They were on the move. They didn't have any jails and police force and courts and places to sit around for 6 months arguing a case, and lawyers, and all of this stuff that we suffer under. And even when they came into their land, they were a people who lived on the land. There were no steel mills and oil refineries and electric power plants and malls and stores. And there were people who kept sheep and animals and raised grapes and olive trees and this sort of thing. They lived in tribes and families and communities, communes of families. It's just nothing like what's going on in this day. And God gave them clear instructions about how to deal with crime, to keep it out of this situation, to deal with it immediately, deal with it and get it out. That's what he kept saying to them, that you might live in peace and not have constant criminal activity. And the punishments were severe, because crime is severe, especially when people live like that, openly and in the country, and their lives crisscross and one another all the time. And he says here in Deuteronomy 19, verse 11, if any man hate his neighbor and lie in wait for him and rise up against him and smite him mortally, that he die? What are you going to do about that? You're going to call 911, you know, and get him come over and arrest him and get prosecuting attorneys and hire defense lawyers and have this thing go for 6 months and so forth? No. No, sir. It says in verse 12, the elders of the city shall send and fetch him, deliver him into the hand of the avenger of blood. Who is that? That's his brother. That's his daddy. That's his a family member. The avenger of the blood is a family member. Verse 13 says, your eyes not to pity him. He willfully, on purpose, killed this man. And you're not to pity him, but put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel, that it may go well with thee. That's the sentence I was looking for. You've got to deal with crime efficiently and effectively and immediately, that it might go well with you. You can't have it circulating throughout this type of community and civilization. And a little further down here in verse 16, verse 15, one witness. You know, I've quoted this so often. Let every word be established by the mouth of two or three witnesses. The word of God is just perfect. He says here in verse 15, one witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity. You don't take the word of one witness. Just don't do it. Or for any sin. At the mouth of two witnesses or even three witnesses shall the matter be established. And then down here in verse 21, it says, when he deals with this justice, he says in verse 20, and those which remain are going to hear and fear, and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. When crime is dealt with as it ought to be, as God ordained it, this restrains criminal activity. If they know that this crime is going to be dealt with swiftly and surely, as it ought to be, criminals being punished restrains crime. I do believe that's what Scripture is saying here. That's clearly what the Lord is saying here, that those that hear shall fear and shall henceforth commit no more such evil. And verse 21 is the verse that causes so many people today, writers and the media and these liberal people, to condemn the Word of God. But verse 21 says, "And thine eyes shall not pity, but life shall go for life." If you take a life, they take your life. If you do it on purpose, if you do it willingly, that's what Scripture says. And if you object to that, take it up with the author, not with me. Take it up with God. It's His Word. Life for life. And when it talks about an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a hand for a hand, a foot for a foot, you don't kill a man for every crime. What he's saying here, the Scripture's teaching that the punishment should fit the crime. A severe crime like murder deserves death. But robbery and things like this, they don't deserve death. And that's what he's saying, that the punishment is to fit the crime. Now then, while I was studying this punishment fit the crime, I found a passage of Scripture that deals with something that's being debated in this day. Turn to Exodus 21. Exodus chapter 21. We have this contention going on today about whether or not a woman who is expecting a child, whether or not that is a child or just a mass in her, just a fetus. And some people are saying, this is what they're saying, that if a person attacks a woman who is with child and kills that child, he's murdered. And the women's organizations are saying it's not murder because it's not alive, it's not a child, it's just a fetus. Let's see what God says. Exodus 21, verse 22. Exodus 21:22. You have it. If men strive. Now here's two men having a fight and hurt a woman with a mass. No. Hurt a woman with a fetus. No. Hurt a woman with child. This is a pregnant woman. She has a child in her. A precious child. You women who've had babies, you talk to them, don't you, when you carry them? I know you do. Carrie's been talking to Lucy for a year, and not quite that long, but that's your baby. So God's Word words it right. He says it's a woman with child. And so that he hurts her, and her fruit departs from her. What's happened here? The child is born early. Her fruit is that's her fruit. That's a child, that's her fruit, and it's born. And yet no mischief follow. What's the mischief? Child doesn't die. Now, if the child dies, that's more than mischief. That's terrible. That's a. If two men were fighting and one of you ladies was carrying a child and they hit you and knocked you down, the child was born and was dead, it would devastate you. You would be devastated. You'd be torn apart, wouldn't you? That's mischief. But the child comes forth and it's all right. What are you going to do about this fellow? Well, don't kill him. He shall be punished according to the woman's husband. It's according to, he'll settle this matter with him, and he'll pay as the judge is determined. But if mischief follows, if that child dies, take his life. You know what's that? If that child dies, if that mother or child dies, he's got to pay. Now, here's what's happening, and I keep warning our folks about other translations. This King James, that's clear. Is that clear to you? John, is that you, an elder? Is that clear? Bob? Ron? That's clear, isn't it? Listen to the Amplified, and I use Amplified once in a while, but now listen to the difference. And what they say is they want to help us understand it, but they change the meaning. It says, if men contend with each other, and a pregnant woman. Now that suits those folks fine that say that's a fetus. do away with the word child and just say she's pregnant. And if she interferes, where does it say here she's interfering? I can't find that. That's what, if she interferes and she is hurt so that she has a miscarriage. What is a miscarriage? The child dies. Isn't that what it is? A miscarriage. I looked it up again tonight. I thought the Amplified helped us sometime on things, but it hurts us here. The child dies, yet no further damage occurs. Brother, the damage is done. My child's dead. No further damage? Well, there's no hurt. She wasn't a child anyway, just a fetus. So who cares? I care. She cares. The one that hurt her shall be punished with a fine. He didn't hurt. He killed her baby. So, give the dad $20 and let it go. That's cold, isn't it? The Word of God, the King James translation, is the cause. But our study tonight, turn to Joshua. We're going to look here at accidental death. Accidental death. That's what we're looking at. Joshua 20. Would you open the Bible's Joshua 20? Now that's deliberate death. That's to be punished by giving life for life. But in Joshua chapter 20, I want to read this now. This is Brother Frank read that where two fellows were out in the field and they were cutting wood and the head of the axe came up and hit a man in the head and killed him. Well, the avenger of blood just comes and destroys the man that killed his brother. But now listen to what this says. And he said, well, they could go to the city of refuge. Now watch. The Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out of you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, which our brother Frank read a moment ago, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares, unwittingly, may flee thither to a city of refuge, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of these cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, he's in trouble, he's running, he's afraid of this avenger of blood, and he declares his cause is an accident, he didn't mean to, they shall take him into the city unto them, give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hands, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, he hated him not before time, and he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come to his own city, to his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. Now, the old writers and the apostles applied this to our Lord, city of refuge. The word refuge means giving asylum. It means taking a person in and protects him and gives him safety and security. The refuge is a safe habitation. And that's Christ. Moses says this, the eternal God is our refuge. Underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee. David said, trust in the Lord at all times, ye people. Pour out your hearts to him. God's a refuge for us. Isaiah said, O Lord, thou hast been a strength for the poor. Thou hast been a strength for the needy, a refuge from the storm, and a shade from the heat. And Paul said in Hebrews 6, we have fled to him for refuge, city of refuge, to lay hold of the hope set before us. And Charles Wesley, the great hymn writer, who wrote that song, Arise My Soul, he wrote, other refuge have I none. hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave, leave me not alone. Still support and comfort me. Hide me. O my Savior, hide till the storms of life be past. Safe into the haven, God, and receive my soul at last. Well, these cities of refuge to which Moses refers and to which the apostles refer are pictures of Christ, our refuge. And I'll show you four or five things. Now, the first is this. The names of these cities bear reference to him. Now, back in Old Testament days, and I guess New Testament too, back in the Bible days, they named children, they named cities, they gave them special names which had special meanings which fit the occasion. Let me show you one example. Turn to 1 Samuel 4. That's the reason a lot of times I say, now this name means this, because these people, these Israelites, they gave names to places and people that were meaningful, that fit certain characteristics of the person or the times. In 1 Samuel 4, 1 Samuel chapter 4, Eli was the priest, and Eli died. Verse 18 of 1 Samuel 4. It came to pass when he made mention of the ark of God. The ark of God had been stolen and taken out of the camp. And when Eli made mention of the ark of God, he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck broke, and he died. He was an old man. He was heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. And his daughter, Phinehas, wife, was with child. Phinehas was dead also. Now her father-in-law's dead, her husband's dead, and the ark is gone. She was near to be delivered, and when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, her father-in-law was and her husband were both dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women that stood by her said unto her, "Fear not, thou hast borne a son." But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child, what's she named? Ichabod. Why? The glory is departed from Israel. Because the ark of God was taken, because her father-in-law and her husband were dead. And she said, the glory is departed from Israel, and named her child Ichabod. And that's what they did. They named cities, they named children, they named them for occasions or characteristics or something. Jacob, supplanter. His brother was born, and he's born after him, holding on to his heel, wasn't he? Taking hold of him, supplanter. They did that. Now, what's the names of these cities? Joshua 20. Turn to Joshua 20. This is, to me, is so interesting. Appoint these three cities. And the first one they appointed is verse 7. They appointed Kadesh in Galilee, in Mount Naphtali. What does Kadesh mean? We have a concordance in the office, Strong's Concordance. And it has all these names, and it has the meaning in the back. And here's the meaning. It means holy. Kadesh means a hallowed place. And our Lord, the refuge, that's Christ, the Holy One. The Holy One. That's right, without sin. Perfect. All right, and also they named Shechem in Mount Ephraim. What does Shechem mean? You know what the word Shechem means? It means between the shoulders, the place of burden. That's our Lord. He found his sheep. Where did he put him? On his shoulders. Took him home. What does it say about him in Isaiah? It says his government will be on his shoulders. That's our Lord. What does Paul say? Cast your care upon him. He cares for you. That's an appropriate name for a city of refuge picturing Christ. All right, the third one is Hebron, Mount Judah. Hebron, which is in Mountain of Judah. What's Hebron mean? Fellowship. It means association. And that's what John said. He said, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. We're one. And then these are the three cities that were to be added. These three were appointed, and these three were assigned to later, when they grew bigger, to be cities of refuge. And this one, the first one, named Bezer, in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben. Bezer is a defense. Did you read a while ago with me when David said, the Lord is my refuge, the Lord is my defense? Well, that's what we're talking about. And one writer said this, it's called a fortification that's inaccessible. That's what kind of defense he is. He's a fortification in which you hide and you can't be touched. Inaccessible. Hide me in the cleft of the rock. Hide me, O my Savior, hide till the storm of life be past. Safe into the refuge forever. Safe. All right, the next one is Ramoth in Gilead out of the tribe of Gad. And the word Ramoth means highly exalted. That's a good name for our Lord. The Lord hath given him a name. Highly exalted him, given him a name above every name. That is the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that he's Lord. And the last one to be assigned later is Golan in Bashan of the tribe of Manasseh. And the word Golan has something to do, they said, with captives. Boy, he's got a lot to do with captives, hasn't he? He sets a captive free. He led captivity captive. All right. The second thing about these cities now, look back at Joshua 20. Verse 1 and 2. They were established by God's decree. That's so important. They were established by God's decree. Those who fled to these cities of refuge could feel absolutely safe and secure because these cities were not by the decree of Moses, nor Aaron, nor the Israelites. Verse 1 says, the Lord spake to Joshua and said, speak to the children of Israel and saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge whereof I spake to you by the hand of Moses. This is my commandment. You appoint these cities. And when those fellows ran to those cities, they felt safe and secure because this was the word of God. And our Lord Jesus Christ did not take upon himself to be our high priest. That's what Scripture says. It says in Hebrews 5, listen, Christ glorified not himself to be the high priest, but God said, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. You can flee to Christ with secure assurance that you're safe because God made him your refuge. God made. Oh, when Peter was preaching on Pentecost, he said to those Jews, he said, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified, Lord and Christ. God made him our Christ. God said, Joshua, you appoint these cities. This one, this one, this one. Appoint them. And they appointed them by the word of God. What our Lord say in Isaiah 61? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath appointed me to preach the gospel, to heal the blind, to deliver the captive, and heal the brokenhearted. He appointed me. And let me tell you this. These were the only cities of refuge. Fellas just couldn't go around erecting a city and say, well, this is prettier than that one. This one is this or that or the other. No, it's the only ones. I want you to turn to John 14. And I read this again and looked at it again. John 14. I know you say, well, I know that by heart. All right. Let's turn to it anyway. One more time. Christ is the only refuge. Let this issue be settled. and carefully consider it now, and once for all set it forth as an undeniable, unchangeable truth in John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether you go. How can we know the way? We've never been there. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father by me. That's it. Old Peter said over here, let me turn to this quickly and read to you. Speaking to the whole house of Israel, he said this, listen. Be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. And this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. It's become the head of the corner. And neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's settled. That's settled. All right, look back at Joshua 20 again now. The name of these cities reveal Christ. The fact that God appointed these cities as he appointed Christ. And then the verse 3 and 4. Now listen. The manslayer has got to be in the city to be protected. He got to be in the city. Now listen to this, verse 3 and 4. That the slayer that kills any person, unawares, unwittingly, may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of the blood. And when he doth flee into one of those cities, he'll stand at the entering of the gate, declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city. All right, let's picture this now. The man is in trouble. He's killed a man. And the avenger of blood can kill him if he can get him. He can kill him, and they'll do nothing to him if he can get to him. But now he comes to this city. He knows if he can get to this city and get in this city, that avenger cannot touch him. So he comes, and these elders meet him at the gate. And he declares his cause. That's what he said. He'll declare his cause in their ears. What are they to do? They take him in. They receive him and take him in. And they give him a place. And he dwells among them. He's home. He's safe. He's secure. And that avenger says here in verse 5, if the avenger of blood pursue after him, they shall not deliver him up. They shall not deliver him up into his hand. They shall not. And that's our experience. The Holy Spirit of God showed us our sins. The avenger of the brethren, the accuser of the brethren, the law of God's on our heels, guilty. We flee to Christ. We declare our cause. He takes us in, gives us a place, and we dwell in him, in Christ. Secure. But now wait a minute. Gotta be in Christ. If any man be in Christ, we're in him by faith. Now knowing where the city is won't do it. And approving of the fact there's a city won't do it. And knowing somebody that's in the city won't do it. Got to enter in. Got to enter in. Because yourself over here in Numbers 35, I want you to turn to Numbers 35. And listen, that man's got to stay in that city. He's got to stay there in Numbers 35. Listen to this. You've got to stay in the city. Numbers 35 says, and I believe verse 25. Numbers 35, 25. Listen carefully. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood. And the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge, whither he has fled. And he shall abide in it until the death of the high priest. I'll look at that a minute, after a while. Which was anointed with the holy oil. But if the slayer shall at any time leave the city, come without the borders of the city of his refuge, whither he was fled, and the revenger of blood find him outside the borders of the city of his refuge, the revenger of blood shall kill him and not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in the city of the refuge until the death of the high priest. And I connect that with the... Let me show you how I connect that, and I just let everybody be his own teacher here now. Jeremiah 32, this is what I connect that. People make profession, then they leave. You know, we come to the family of God. I think that's the elders that he talks about here, the city of refuge. It's not a literal city. It's not a literal building like this, or a denomination, or organization, or situation. It's coming to Christ, to the body of Christ. We're baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. Christ is the head, and his people are the whole body, the temple, the living temple. And when a person is guilty of sin and flees to Christ, he flees to the body of Christ. He becomes one with the body of Christ. It's a city of God. Zion, city of God. Isn't that what it's called? Zion, city of God. And he's in the city. He's in the body. He's in the family. But if he leaves, he's in trouble. Because if he leaves, it means he never did really become a part of it. Because if he had really become, he wouldn't have left. That's right. Now look at Jeremiah. See if this is not true. Behold, verse 37, Jeremiah 32, 37. I will gather them out of all countries, Jeremiah 32, 37, whither I have driven them in mine anger, my fury, my wrath. I'll bring them again into this place, body of Christ, the city of God. I will cause them to dwell safely. Boy, that's the city of refuge. They'll be my people and I'll be their God. That's not one person, that's a lot of folks. And I'll give them one heart, one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them, of their children, after them. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with them. I will not turn away from them to do them good. And we bank on that, don't we? We say, well, if a man's saved, he's saved. He'll never be lost. Well, God will never lose him. God will never leave him. You'll never be lost. But don't hang too far on that and forget this other part. He says, I won't leave them, and I'll put my fear in their hearts, and they won't leave me. Those are both true. He can't leave us. We can't leave him. Somebody asked a preacher friend of mine one time, said, can a saved man ever be lost? My friend said, well, if he can, he can. I think that answers it pretty well. If you can you? Can you leave Christ? The Lord said that to the disciples. When those people left in John 6, he turned to the 12. Said, will you go away? There's the door. Can you? Can you leave Christ? If you can, you can. If you can, you can. If you can do that, if you can leave the Son of God, you can leave the refuge, if you can leave the peace and joy and hope of Christ, you can. And some do. But if you can't, you can't. Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. Don't worry about that. I'm not worried about that. To whom shall we go? Thou hast, goes back to my text, and I'll finish my message. Verse 6, Joshua 20. He shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, till he's declared before the judgment of God not guilty. Well, we've been declared not guilty because Christ justified us, and in Christ there is no judgment. Or until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. And then shall the slayer return home. Death of the high priest. I tried to find something on that, but most folks don't handle that too well. I'll tell you why, because you just can't handle things like that. But one said this, the death of the high priest, who was over and in charge of all of the things that went on at that time, when he died, is all canceled. And a new dispensation and a new administration took over, so they just canceled all the debts. I don't know about that. But I do know this, that the death of our high priest has already happened. And because he died, I won't die. In him, I'm totally justified. But he ever lives.